This is Audible.
This is Boulder Effect.
Hello, my name is Saucy or Saucy. And I'm here with Issue. I'd like to thank Boulder FM and Possibilities Open Studio.
De mensen waar wij mee samenwerken. Mm-hmm. Alleen, als jij interesse hebt, dan wil ik een keer uitleggen wat wij doen en hoe wij werken.
Want jullie willen wel weten van, we hebben wel informatie nodig.
Ja, wij zijn een informatieafdeling, dus wij zijn altijd op zoek naar informatie natuurlijk. En, mm-hmm. Wij doen dat over het algemeen in een goede samenwerking met mensen waar wij mee samenwerken. Mm-hmm. Alleen, als jij interesse hebt, dan wil je een keer uitleggen wat wij doen en hoe wij werken.
Ja.
Dan is dat natuurlijk, kan dat natuurlijk altijd.
Ja. En staat daar ook enige vergoeding tegenover?
Daar sowieso zorgen wij voor dat de onkosten die je maakt, die worden natuurlijk altijd vergoed. Mm-hmm. En als jij ons informatie geeft die ergens toe leidt waar wij nog geen informatie over hebben, dan kan er wel een vergoeding tegenover staan, ja.
Oké, okay. Ja. Oké. Okay. Oké, okay. En waar zou we af kunnen spreken dan?
Dat ligt eraan, dat kan eigenlijk overal, hè. Dus ik denk dat de eerste stap is dat jij moet zeggen van, nou, ik wil wel bijvoorbeeld zo'n kennismakingsgesprek, hè. Mm-hmm. Waar in principe doen zich heel verblijvend, hè? Dus is voor beide partijen eigenlijk om te zien van, dan zou dit interessant kunnen zijn, en dan kunnen we beide kanten naar de hand zeggen van, het is een ja of het is een nee. En mm-hmm. Dat kan in principe overal plaatsvinden. Dus je moet in ieder geval, we maken dit moment waarschijnlijk gewoon in gebruik van een politiebureau, aangezien alle andere locaties een beetje dicht zijn. Maar wij kunnen in principe het hele land over als het moet. Dus ja. Als jij zegt, ik heb interesse, en zegt in welke regio, want jij woont in Harderwijk, zeg je? Mm-hmm. Ja, dan kunnen we altijd kijken of we voor jou niet al te ver te reizen kunnen kijken of we daar een plekje kunnen vinden.
Ja, en kom je dan alleen of met een collega van de AIVD?
Nee, we komen met z'n tweeën en het is niet van de AIVD, maar het is vanuit de politie is het. Inlichtingendienst van de politie.
Oh, inlichtingendienst van de politie, oké.
Okay. Ja, okay. Ja, wel een beetje hetzelfde, maar in principe wij zijn dan wel politiegericht in principe.
Ja, dat is, hoe heet dat, drie of zo?
Ja, bij ons heet dat TOI, dat is zeg maar Team Openbare Orde Inlichtingen.
Okay.
yourself. Win or lose, it's all the same. Walk on when you're there, no faster than the play. Sink or swim, it's just a game.
Sounds is the roaring of deer in the rutting seasons. I am surrounded by the primeval forest of Białowieża, Puszcza Białowieska, right on the Polish-Belarusian border. I've seen some dramatic transformation. The construction of a steel wall on the border between Poland and Belarus.
we know that we are now sitting in the heart of untouched forest that has never been cut, never destroyed, never burned down by humans.
My name is Grzegorz Sokół, and I have come to Eastern Poland to find out what impact the wall is having on both humans and wildlife in this ancient forest, unique in Europe and a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
There is megafauna here, such as bison and wolf. It's really precious in Europe and in the world.
The right-wing Law and Justice government built it as a barrier, symbolic and physical, against global migrants trying to cross from the eastern side. 186 kilometers of steel slats stretching from Lithuania in the north to Ukraine in the south. That's about half the length of the whole border. It splits the forest in two, half here in Poland and half in Belarus. I'm not allowed to cross over or touch the wall, but for assignment on the documentary from the BBC World Service, I'll be getting as close as I can.
Hello, nice to meet you. Michał Bura.
Michał Bura was born near here. He's been a border guard for almost 20 years.
A czy jakieś jeszcze spotkanie ze zwierzętami pan miał?
Widziałem stado wilków w pobliżu mnie.
I've seen wolf packs close to me, and once I saw a big herd of wild boars. I counted them, there were as many as 100. We're near the village of Jałówka. We're now approaching the state border, the 15-meter wide border strip where you're not allowed to enter. This road we're walking along was going straight to Belarus. There was no boundary. There was the Polish gate and the Belarusian gate, but the road was continuing. Now you can see there is the wall right in front of us, and there is no way to pass.
On the Belarusian side, there is wire fence, the remnants of the old Soviet border. But it's broken down and easier to cross.
Zapora to składa się z stalowych elementów, ma wysokość 5 metrów.
The barrier consists of 5.5 meters of steel bars with razor wire on top. It goes down 1.5 meters underground. And there is also an electronic system with night vision cameras and sensors. So we're being watched right now. There is a camera here.
As we look between the bars of the wall, we see two Belarusian soldiers watching us. The officer, Michał, says that quite often they hear sounds, they hear shots, they hear dogs barking, but they don't come out very often anymore, so he says we're lucky. Two men watching us and talking.
Not long ago, Michał might have shared a cigarette with the two men on the other side, but not now. When the European Union imposed sanctions on Belarus in 2020, the Belarusian government began encouraging the world's refugees to cross through its part of the forest into the Polish one, in the EU, to create tension along the border. Then came the Russian invasion of Ukraine, backed by Belarus.
There's a patrol. We see two soldiers here on our side, on the Polish side, with rifles patrolling the border. There is a big military truck approaching. We'll just continue.
The numbers of migrants were not huge, but for Poland, this was something new. For generations, we were the immigrants, fleeing abroad from war, poverty, or political repression. The world didn't flee to us. Even in Warsaw, where I live, it's rare to meet a person of color, let alone in the small settlements of the Białowieża Forest.
They are from Egypt, or Ethiopia, or Cameroon, or Sudan, Afghanistan. There is a lot of people from Afghanistan. We don't know anything about these people. They are different from us. Some people in these villages didn't see anyone who looks different than them.
Kasia Mazurkiewicz-Bylak is from the town of Krynki, close to the border. She has two little kids, a rambling garden, and a wooden house full of homemade jams and pickles. She worked for a local logistics company. Then one day, a friend showed her a photo of Polish soldiers with guns rounding up a group of migrants who were kneeling in a cornfield with their hands up. Kasia was shocked. I had to choose, she says. Her choice changed the course of her life.
So we tried to search for these people.
We put in the backpack clothes like socks and trousers, some kind of medicines. We put the food like chocolate or hot soups, water. We have power banks and sometimes phones because so sometimes people are without any connection to the world. They can lost in the forest for days.
We're crossing one of the streams that lets out into the border river. It's called Swisłocz.
So there are wooden pathways here that have been built over the swamp, over the bog.
There is a signpost that says state border, do not cross, and we see the razor wire stretched along the borderline and then go down into the river just a few meters away from us.
If you are going here by night, you can see anything, and there is a lot of fallen trees, and you hear strange voices. The deers are roaring, and the people that we met, there was very, very afraid about this.
A co oni myśleli, że to było?
I don't know, maybe lions. They are asking about lions. Lions, yes.
It's hard to know exactly how many people have crossed since the wall was built. In the first 9 months of 2023, 13,000 made it to Germany, their main destination, and the border guards say they prevented over 20,000 attempted crossings. The wall has slowed down migration, but not stopped it. And their routes have expanded. People arrived from more than 50 countries this year. Kasia says people cut or bend the metal slats, jump from the top, or wade around through bogs. In October, Poland added more razor wire at ground level. The issue has stirred up deep fears and emotions. Some Poles want to be open and welcoming, like Kasia, but others use hostile language like invasion to describe the migrants. You don't have to dig far into Poland's past to see the roots of those attitudes.
Local people have been divided, as Poland is. For everyone, it means something different.
Agnieszka Holland is a Polish film director, one of the great names in European and world cinema.
Help, help! Help!
No, 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 no!
Bierzemy turystów, to przygotujcie paczkarnię.
Her latest film, Green Border, tells the story of a group of migrants from Syria and Afghanistan making their way through this forest and the activists who helped them, people like Kasia. It is very critical of the Polish government's tough approach. The film ignited fierce controversy in Poland. Some called it anti-Polish, others a truthful testimony.
Well, the meaning of the forest is changing. It depends which point of view are you taking.
In the film, the forest is terrifying, a place of danger, but also a place of shelter and survival.
The forest, you know, it was often in the situations of the war. During the Second World War, especially, they've been partisans. They've been, you know, the underground people. Their bases have been very often in forests because the Germans been afraid of forest. The same was for hiding places of Jews. So the refugee crisis now is like waking up that old feelings and images. The people hiding in the forest and, you know, being afraid. The people knocking on the doors and asking for water or food. Some people who are helping but don't know if the neighbor will not tell. So that memory is also a very painful memory.
We're in the village of Dubice Cerkiewne, close to the border. The wooden church of the Protection of Our Most Holy Lady is painted bright blue. The roof and the dome shine with gold. The women in their best dresses and headscarves are lighting candles, meeting friends they've known all their lives. They stand on the left, men on the right. It's an Eastern Orthodox service. You won't hear this in most of Poland, which is mostly Catholic. The borderlands are almost like another Poland. Catholics, Orthodox Christians, Jews, Protestants, and Muslim Tatars all lived here, and everywhere we find their traces. Older people speak a mixture of Belarusian, Ukrainian, and Polish. Many still have family on both sides of the border. Maria is just about to cycle home. I asked her how long they'd been coming to pray here.
From the beginning of the world, she said.
No to oni niepotrzebni nam.
Those foreigners? We don't need them. We have our own people to feed. Why leave home? When there is trouble, people need to stay put and work.
Kamień leży na ziemi, to obrośnie mchem.
A rolling stone gathers no moss, she says. Knock on any door of this peaceful village, though, and you'll hear stories of war, trauma, and families lost. During World War II, German soldiers murdered the local Jewish population. They burned Lubicza Zerkiewna and the church. Even before that, during World War I, in 1915, 2 to 3 million people, mainly Orthodox, fled from these borderlands into Russia as refugees. A chaotic escape called Bierzeństwo in Poland and barely known outside. Many never came back. Some of those who did found nothing but ashes.
Mocniej, dobra. A no tak. Dzień dobry panu.
Ludmiła and Włodzimierz live in Grabowiec, a tiny village just south of the church.
Pracujemy dla BBC i robimy program radiowy.
Dzień dobry.
Ludmiła brings us tea and a local cake, senkacz, baked on a spit and served in knobbly rings. Both sides of their families fled in the Bierzeństwo.
Tutaj nie było nic, często wracano na tak zwany goły kamień, jak to się mówi, nie było ani domu, ani...
People came back to bare stones, so to speak, he says. Not a house, not a street, not a village. We even ate potato peelings and wild weeds. Nettle soup was something special.
Tylko o tyle dobrze, że tam z mojej miejscowości to została babcia.
In Ludmila's family, only one grandmother didn't leave for Russia. When the rest of the family returned, they survived only thanks to the potatoes she grew in her garden.
I wszyscy wspominali, że dzięki jej przeżyliśmy.
Listening to Ludmila and Włodzimierz and Maria at the church, their grandparents' experiences feel almost like their own, fresh and present. It's only by looking back that we understand how those traumatic memories shape how people feel about migrants now, frightening intruders or sympathetic souls. As for these migrants coming now, he says, they don't bother me at all. I've never even met one. We keep hearing that there are so many, but I haven't seen a single one. I expect they're just harmless people who want to get a drink of water and charge their phones and then move on.
Every human has his own story.
Kasia is now working full-time tracking and tracing people injured or lost in the forest with a local activist group, Podlaskie Ochotnicze Pogotowie Humanitarne, which means the Podlasie Volunteer Emergency Aid. She gets phone alerts constantly from all over the world.
Close family contact us and tell us that my brother, my son, my daughter is missing on the border. Can you search for them? And sometimes we found living people and sometimes we found the bodies. Yes, and sometimes we found nothing. There is a swamp here. And if you go through the swamps, you can see the things that people left behind them. Some clothes and some water bottles, empty, and nappies, and sometimes cosmetics for women. And I think that some women go here and she was carrying a lipstick and eyeshadow because she's still a woman and she wants to look beautiful.
As we walk through the forest, I'm seeing it with different eyes now, and listening with different ears. I thought primeval meant somehow outside time, static, separate from people. But that's completely wrong. Human life, with all its drama and trauma, is deeply entwined with the forest. And not only human life. Just as the wall blocks the movement of people, it may also be blocking that of animals that roam across the whole forest.
Yes, we don't know what's happening with animal movement. We assume that some of these small to medium mammals, such as badgers or marten or even foxes, that they might be able to pass, including through the steel bars.
Katarzyna Nowak is a biologist from the Białowieża Geobotanical Station, part of the University of Warsaw. She is hunting for evidence as to how the border wall might be altering the course of animal and plant life.
We think that moose and wolf and lynx in particular will be adversely affected by this barrier. Even if a lynx were to jump that 5 meters, it might get entangled in the razor wire that is at the top of the barrier. And so, yes, this creates a barrier to gene flow, to animal movement. We're also hearing some reports of potential changes in behavior, so wolves using the border road and walking along it, either because it's a convenient road for them to walk or they're trying to find gaps in the barrier.
We are walking from Białowieża village to the Belarusian border, a track Katarzyna has walked more than 50 times, logging the effects not just of the physical barrier of the wall, but of its construction and maintenance.
It's very difficult to measure the environmental effects of border barriers. Often that's the case because there are few, if any, baseline data available with which to compare before and after. There are also restrictions on accessing the border, so the traffic going through here now is largely uniformed services, so border guard, military, police, fire, fighters, also road maintenance vehicles of various kind.
Every load of cement, truck, metal post, campfire, boot has its consequence. As Katarzyna wheels her bike along, she logs tiny lives and deaths too small for most of us to spot.
See here, this looks like a freshly run over small natrix. These are really striking snakes, and then they're, you know, you can see they're actually quite like green bluish, mm-hmm. and they have these beautiful yellow dots on the head. Mm-hmm. And they're a little lighter on the underside. See, they have this kind of
beautiful marking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do see some plants that are, let's say, non-forest species. Some of them are airborne. Others may be associated with some of the gravel and other building material that's been brought in. Corispermum, it's a steppe, a species that we found growing out of a pile of sand. We were also surprised to see some tomatoes growing, and that's probably from military disposing of tomatoes as they ate their lunch in between the bog and the barrier.
I'd like to know what the Belarusian scientists might be finding just a few meters away behind the wall. We're so close that my phone has switched itself over to a Belarusian network, but there is no contact at all with the other side. Some Belarusian scientists have been imprisoned for joining in protests against the leadership in Minsk. It's impossible to cross-check data on movement. The millions, trillions of adaptations to human events Katarzyna began to show us must stretch back long before our time. For a sense of scale, we went to visit the Mammal Research Institute of the Polish Academy of Sciences in Białowieża.
We have several hundred thousand skeletons, skins, tissue samples.
Tomasz Samojlik is an environmental historian and author.
So we have several skeletons gathered in this room. Most obvious one, European bison, that you can recognize by its horns. We have a male red deer, also quite impressive. We have this huge, huge skeleton, even bigger than the skeleton of European bison, and that one belongs to the moose. We're going to the garden. I was born on the outskirts of the forest, so it's in my blood. I love bison, I love shrews, I love badgers, I love wolves. That's not rhyming on purpose. I love all sorts of animals, all sorts of wildlife and species. Oh, I love them all.
Tomar's research shows us what he calls the deep past, long before written records.
In my research, I'm interested in the changes that the forest has experienced in its history, which actually is last 12,000 years. So we can study the soil composition, we can study the flow of rivers, how it differs from the current ones. We can study pollen, which is one of the best methods to retrace the vegetation of a given area in the past, especially in places like Białowieża, where we have some bogs that collect pollen from the surrounding area year after year, century after century, millennia after millennia.
What Tomasz has found is that waves of migrants pass through the forest intermittently in different prehistoric eras, logging, farming, beekeeping, and hunting, leaving traces all but imperceptible.
We know that people migrated probably due to the changing weather, climate conditions, probably due to the lack of food in their original area. And from the environmental history studies, we know that there was never like this golden era in the history of Białowieża primeval forest. It was constantly changing. There was never a time where the forest was static and like this primeval, Sherwood-like type of forest with only old oaks. No, not at all. It was constantly changing, and those changes came and went. The Białowieża forest was able to always heal the wounds that were inflicted by humans.
So your perspective is just completely different.
That's yes, one of the outcomes of being an environmental historian, that you tend to look at things from wider, bigger distance, wider perspective and bigger distance. It's an enormous topic, and obviously one lifetime is not enough to learn it all.
A lot has happened in Poland since we began recording. In October, the country voted out the Law and Justice government in general elections. The turnout was huge, and the result is seen as a turning point. The forest borderland was the only rural area in eastern Poland to vote for the winning opposition. Kasia has received 277 calls for help from Afghanistan, Yemen, Somalia, Egypt, Ethiopia, Eritrea, and Iraq.
Most of them, they have a long road, and we are just the point of this road. Yes, we just give them food, just helping them to not to die in this moment. You can help, but it's their own journey.
She can't tell how many people made it over the wall.
Sometimes people that I was helping make a photo in Germany or in Great Britain that there is okay, they are happy, and I feel happy about this. I see now they are smiling, they have friends or family. It's a good feeling for me.
The newly elected opposition parties promised to put an end to deaths on the border, but the wall will stay.
So I think nobody is able to answer the question, what will be the consequences? Listen, in my research, I often find events or circumstances or series of events or entire periods that are full of dramatic turns and actually moments that make you think, how come the forest still survives? The forest still grows. The sad thing is that the more I know, the more questions I have.
Would you like to join us to one of the camera traps?
Katarzyna Nowak has been setting up night cameras in fixed spots in the forest.
So I'm opening the camera and I'm turning it off?
Sometimes they show groups of migrants slipping past in the darkness. But any movement might trigger the shutter.
Oh, actually that looks like a moose.
Mm-hmm. With a shiny eye. And now he's looking straight at the camera, or she is.
Okay.
It could be
humans
lovers.
And animals. Oh,
that's a huge deer.
Huge red deer. Beautiful.
That's all from Assignment in the Białowieża Forest. I'm Grzegorz Sokół. The producer was Monica Whitlock.
À propos de Minos. À propos de Minos, une émission où tout le monde peut venir faire du son. Eh non, c'est bon là, c'est bon, c'est bon.
Hey, 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 hey like I believe in you, girl. Terrible things unto me, I would rather do unto you. Go down, baby.